of the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy!
You can lay me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. It's the aftermath, as we call it, Roger, right?
The aftermath.
No better intro. Today, we'll have the Havasu Pioneers radio show in a few minutes with host Dan De Los Santos, but we wanted to do a little election recap while Dan's getting his ducks in a row. And no better intro than the Dangerous Alliance and to bring on Roger Galloway. I think that's perfect because it seems like you should be a natural part of that, don't you think?
Yes, I should be. You're right. I should be.
Although I don't think you were ever a professional wrestler. You may have been a publicist for one, but anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We wanted to kind of recap what's going on, and there's a lot of questions, especially about where to find the results and that sort of thing. But, Roger, the most notable thing about last night, when we went off the air, Robeson was up by 8.5 to 9 points. I wake up this morning, there's a 12-point swing, and Lake is up by 3. What's going? What in the world happened?
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing. But here's what happened in a nutshell. All right, we saw, you and I, when we were doing the show last night, we saw early balloting only,
right.
And in the early balloting, even in Mojave County, Kerry Lake was behind Robeson by about 200 votes and 9 percentage points, my goodness, in the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like, wow, huge upset. This is just astounding. What happened is, though, the people that went to vote at the polls yesterday clearly were more in favor of Kerry Lake to get the nomination. And that's what happened. It was that two-thirds of the voters were early voters, but that final third were, I think it looks apparently and obviously, very conservative Republican voters in the primary. And they turned the tide.
Right.
And I want to just say one thing. The people that vote early balloting and the people that go to the polls are a different breed. And they always have been. It doesn't always work like it did with this Kerry Lake situation.
Right.
But what happens is they spend more time evaluating the candidate. They have more weeks to listen to radio commercials, TV commercials, social media, watch television news, et cetera, and evaluate or reevaluate the candidates. And they go to the polls with a different determination. It's very, very different.
Right.
And I think that's what happened here.
There was a pretty big, from that 200 votes we were talking about, that Lake, Was she down to Robeson in Mojave County or only up by 200?
Robeson had 200 more votes.
Okay, but
in early balloting than Kerry Lake did.
But this morning,
the final tally is
15,636
in Mojave County for Kerry Lake,
uh-huh,
and 12,549 for Robeson.
Yeah, that is a big difference, a huge difference.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
The other thing, and I even got texts this morning from people, where do I find the local results? What's going on? What's going on with that?
That could be handled a little bit better. Here's what they do. I'll make it real simple. Just listen, folks, and it'll be an easy process. You can see every single race in the state if you want, or just Mojave County.
Right.
Go to Mojave.gov. Now, that's real easy, Mojave.gov. And when you go there, it says, see primary election results. Click it. And here's where it gets to be a little problematic. Right. When you click it, it takes you to the State Secretary of State site. And you go, wait a minute, there's the state, there's legislative races, there's federal, where's Mojave County? Look to your left, top left on that page, mm-hmm. It says county. Click it, and there's a drop down of the 15 counties.
Right.
And then all you have to do is click Mojave, and there you are.
In fact, the link is right above Secretary of State Katie Hobbs' face, right above her head. It says county,
yes,
county
on,
results.
On the left.
Yeah, it's a pull down. It says county results. It's actually a link. It's not a pull down. But it could have been bigger. I didn't see it. I know a few news people that didn't see it.
That's
like,
right.
And you were yelling at me, it's right there. It's right there. I'm like, I can't see it.
So, yeah, I know. It's got to be done a little bit better before the general election. I'm sure they'll take care of it.
Right. Lastly, I want to talk about the length of time. Why so late with the results? We're told, you know, when we were on the show with Alan Tempert, we were told 10:30, but I know it went way later than that.
Oh, yeah. Our last 2:36 a.m. were the final posting of the unofficial election results in Mojave County. So it was very late in the morning. I stayed till 1:30, and I just said, hey, man, I don't know when this is going to end, but it was 2:36.
Uh-huh.
What happened is this. I think you know there's been a lot of scrutiny about the elections in the past couple of years, and everybody wants to get it right now. It wasn't true just for Mojave County. There are a lot of counties in the state that took much longer than normal. We get our ballots in Mojave County are brought in by vehicle.
Right.
So all the ballots are taken care of in Lake Havasu, Bullhead City, over in here in Kingman arrived first. So the Kingman ballots came in first, then came Bullhead City, and the last of the tri-cities was Lake Havasu, and they were counted last. And it took much longer, especially for Lake Havasu, to get those all counted. Mm. And we have two great machines that do this, and they do it at great speed, but it takes longer than what you want to feel is acceptable. It's just a very difficult process.
So I'm not going to put you on the spot, but my biggest surprise besides the governor's race was legislative district 30. I was very surprised that John Gillette won. It just surprised me that and it seemed like every county he had the advantage in, at least in the early voting. What was the biggest surprise for you? Which race surprised you the most?
Number one, I wasn't surprised about Rusty Bowers. He was definitely going to lose that one, and he lost big time. So it wasn't that one. I think the turnaround between Kari Lake and Robeson, it just surprised me that she, overnight, just like you said. So that would be the one that I'm certainly not our county treasurer, because Sylvan Mello had no opposition.
right.
And by the way, one little thing, we had no Democrats running for any of the seats in our county.
Right.
No Democrats at all. No opposition. So the primary, in fact, was the general election for a lot of candidates.
That makes us a one-party county.
Pretty much so.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm pretty sure we'll see you and do a show for the general. And always good to talk to you. County Communications Director Roger Galloway. This is Roger Galloway, right?
This is Paul LaVoy.
No, you should change your name to this. This is Roger Galloway.
Oh, then I go, this is this.
Right. Absolutely. Roger, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Take care.
All right. You're welcome. And we'll be back with more on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. Dan De Los Santos and Glenn Dryden will be back on the show. And we'll be back in a few minutes, a couple minutes. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Paul Lavoie.
Leaving home out on the road. I've been down before.
Right, time for the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, hosted by Dan De Los Santos, and brought to you, of course, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I guess you lit up Facebook pretty well on the Havasu Pioneers page with our next guest.
We did, we did. You know, I got to tell you, I was really excited about this. I hooked up with Glenn Dryden here a while back, and we started talking about doing the show together. And Glenn brought up some of the most amazing stories from the past about our water skiing history here in Lake Havasu City. And so he's Mr. Water Ski to a lot of us. And, we're shouting out to, Jim Sane today, who wasn't able to be with us. But Jim, we want you to know that, we miss you and, want you to know that, we're recording the show for you so you can hear it. A lot of people chimed in for this. And so the Cook family, the Florin family, we had Gary Oxley chime in. We had, a tremendous amount of people. The Knopf family chimed in and came up with some great stories about the past and their experiences skiing with both Glenn and Jim. And so to start it off, I guess the first question is, Glenn, how did you get to Havasu?
Well, I used to always come down here back when we first learned how we used to go to the Salton Sea. But it got worse and worse year after year.
Right.
And then when I used to come down to the river, because my brother and I had learned how to ski when we were young. We had friends who had boat, and we picked up water skiing way back then and just always loved it. And as soon as we graduated from school, between the two of us, we made enough money to buy us a boat, and we got to where we skied all the time and got to where we'd come down to the river.
So that was the early 60s, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you ended up living here.
Yeah, I used to come down here, and I was a journeyman printer in California. That's what I did for work once I got out of high school. And I got to go a lot, and we'd go down to we used to go, like I said, Salt Sea used to be nice. That was close to home because I lived in San Fernando Valley, so that wasn't that far to go, and it was an easy trip. And then it just got so bad, and then we started going to we went down to the river at first, and found out that the lake up here was less crowded than the river. And I think about here, we complained about it being crowded back then. My God, what would they do now? You know,
right.
So you know, I was going to ask you. You started the club. What was the name of the ski club?
Oh, it was the Lake Havasu Boat Ski Club.
And how did you form that, right?
Butch Wood and Joe DeBolt and that group did that. And I happened to meet them, and I met Joe. And Joe knew I learned how to ski, or I knew how to ski. And I had never heard of speed or skiing or anything like that. And so it was... You have to try it, so I did. And
those were the days of Chuck Stern, which was a household name back in the day.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, if you were in, you had a Stern ski.
Really?
I mean, that was supposedly the best thing way back then. And I never saw a race ski till I came to this town.
For those of you who don't know what a speed ski is, it's considerably longer. I mean, how long were the skis back then?
Well, mine I bought from Butch Wood. And the skis were about they varied a little according to your height and your weight.
Yep.
Now, me, I never had any money. And so the first ski I found was Butch Wood, had his for sale. Now, he probably weighed a few pounds more than me. Like,
right.
I still only weigh 150, so it's...
So they were about 70 inches or so, plus or minus?
Were you speed skiing on one or two skis?
One.
So it was a slalom. Was it also wider?
It's wider, and it's heavier.
It's square in the back.
And there a fin also?
Yes, okay. Yes. You had a fin on it. They were made by Murdoch back then. Back then, Murdoch made them. Now there's probably quite a few people who make them. And I don't speed ski anymore.
Right.
It's been a long time since I've even gotten on my own.
But you do water ski.
Oh, yeah. I still water ski all the time.
How often do you get out there?
I still have a boat and everything, and it's all set up for skiing. And
I'm going to guess you're retired, okay?
Yes.
Right? maybe a few years ago. I don't know if you're 70s, 80s. I'm not going to go there unless you go there. But that's what are the challenges at your age to ski like that often?
Well, I always learned. First thing I ever learned how to do is I learned how to do a shore start.
Okay.
So I got lazy. Why would I fight that?
Right.
Trying to get up on a, well.
Pulling yourself up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, we did that too. A lot of places. Back then, I got kicked off of a lake in California for doing a shore start off the beach.
I'll be darned.
And,
that was considered pretty risky at the time.
Right.
There was no discussing this or anything. It was, in fact, it was a normal guy and he says, get your ass off of my off of my lake. You can't do that stuff here.
Wow. So did you turn professional at any time?
Well, I never did. Got real. I skied for Jody Bolt. They all showed me how to do it. And I learned how to ski on it. I did make it to the Nationals and I do have a third place at the Nationals skiing.
Phenomenal.
But I learned I was more cut out for speed, the driving of the boat. I got into the building of the boats and doing the boat. And you had to go faster and faster because you're learning all the time. But anyway,
is that your text alert? Holy moly.
I know, right?
I thought mine was bad. There you go. So what are ideal conditions for speed skiing would be glass, but do you just take what you can get? How does that work in a competition?
We went out when there were white caps. We had races. I can remember skiing down to the power lines and, at the dam.
Mm-hmm.
In marathons, we'd run a 25, a 50, sometimes a 75.
Wow.
Run marathons down there and back. And I got trophies for doing those things too. So
I think I was about 10, 11, maybe 12 years old. My first trip to Lake Havasu City, it was like 1974, 76 around there. And I couldn't get up on skis. And what's the best way to train a young skier, you know, that's around that age or even younger? What's the best? Would you do a shore start? How would you teach a water skier to start skiing?
Well, I have a son. Kelly is my son, and I taught him how to ski when he was four or five years old.
Sure.
And it was really funny because he was just one who automatically liked it.
How many times did it take before he got up?
He got up. Back then they were on doubles.
And yeah,
he got up like the second time he tried on two. And but we were always in the, you know, we skied a lot back then. I mean, we did, back then, we'd get off work, you went home and picked up, it always was kept full of gas and all the stuff was in it. And down to the lake we would go, and we'd ski every night till it got dark.
You still in a wetsuit for those cold, you know, cold water conditions?
Oh, yeah. Back then, well, the first couple of years I lived here, I skied all year because I was used to skiing in California and down at the beach a lot. We'd go to the ocean because it was easy to get to and easy to get in. So I pretty much did it year round back then. Now I can't do it. I'm a wuss now.
Dan, I can't imagine speed skiing on whitecaps.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's one of those things that you hear about. You think it's really neat, and you get out there, and next thing you know, you're doing 70 miles an hour, and you're going, what did I just get myself into?
Now, you're leaning back, but are you in a tuck position to get more speed? How does all that work?
Well, everybody skis different.
Okay.
When we all learned it first, you take and you hold a rope in your hand and you put this, you put your right hand, if you're right-handed, you put your right hand behind your back.
Okay.
And you kind of put the pressure there and hold on to your skis. Okay, you got both handles in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you put this hand out on the rope. Now this came along a few years later. We learned this from the Australians when they came over here. And I remember the first time I ever did it, I was skiing in Catalina.
Oh,
and we're going
wow.
to Catalina, and I'm looking at this guy beside me, and I'm thinking, man, he sure got it easier than me. What the hell is he doing that? So I'm studying him while I'm trying to ski. And finally, in fact, Jim pulled me in that race. He had a good boat then, and I skied for Jim. And anyway, I slowed him down, and I saw how the guy did. So I figured it out, hooked it up, and
the rest was history.
That's where I learned how to do that kind of skiing. But it's a lot easier than this. Your back,
right?
You pull them with your back. You pull from your hips.
Right.
You hook right here. Right at your hips, and
towards the end of the race, you become most vulnerable because you don't have the strength to stay stand up, and that's when the accidents happen, when you start going forward. So there was a lot of practice back then. You know, I was looking at a couple of the posts. Brian Schneider jumped in, and so he was talking about Wendy Sane, and he was talking about Kelly and Tammy Steele. And, you know, when the kids were playing after school, these kids were behind a boat skiing almost every day practicing for what they were doing for the competition, and it was a rigorous amount of practice.
Now, it's funny you mentioned Brian. Brian's my son, too. And back then, you know, we skied all the time, and he got really good. He got to where we skied the outboard class, him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, he moved on to the big boys. And
how big were the outboards back then?
I had the latest one. I always had an inboard when I was in California. I mean, we weren't going to ski behind those Mixmaster things.
And KitchenAid mixer,
the blender, jet.
Because there used to be a lot of kidding about that. But
sure.
But I learned quick. That outboard will go out and you can use it every day. That inboard, I had to work and keep it running. And I happened to work for one of the dealers back then. And so they made me a deal on one, and I bought one. That's how I got with Butch Wood and Jody Bolt and that group. And they all taught me lots of things. And I bought one that's boat from the people at Stylecraft back then. The lady was her and her husband built them, Earl and June Palmer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they built style crafts, so she was really in fact she is in the ladies be like your Olympic team. So her name is on that thing. She's passed away long ago now, but she is the championship lady.
Wow.
And back then.
So, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to come back here in just a moment. We got Glenn Dryden with us talking about the Lake Havasu water ski days back in the early Lake Havasu days.
Right. I thought stuck in the middle would be good in case you're, you know, stuck in the middle of the lake. Hopefully someone's got that red flag up, right?
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Exactly. All right. You're listening to Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show number 36, I believe it is.
36, 37, somewhere in there.
Right, right. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
And we'll come back, talk more with Glenn Dryden. If you want to talk to Glenn, give us a call, 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with host Dan DeLosantos. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul Lavoie. The show brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with Team Leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Just go to lesolson.com, Les Olson, lesolson.com/Kingman, and welcome back to the show. We've got a great guest today. We even had a phone call off the air. Oh, and I need to mention also, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, our exclusive Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor.
Absolutely. You know, those guys are great. And if you're dealing with the humidity like we are, you know, don't be surprised when you got to pick up the phone and call them.
It feels a lot better when you're in the air conditioning, you know, dealing with the humidity, right?
Right.
If the AC is tuned up right.
Right.
So that's where they come in. You want to call Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating to get that thing running tip top.
So we're here with Glenn Dryden, and we got a call coming in.
Yeah, that's great. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Caller, go ahead. Hello, caller.
Probably
maybe it was our guy off the air. He butt dialed us.
So quick shout out to Cheryl Thompson Falco, and then Susie Florin Luck. We know you're out there listening to the show. And you know, somebody, Brian, chimed in and brought up something kind of cool to share with us a little bit. He talked about your wonderful wife Sandy, who was in the powder puffs, and so she was she driving or was she skiing?
Sand drove. She wasn't into the skiing. She did it once just to show us she could do it, but it wasn't her thing. And now put her in the boat.
Right.
We always had a boat. We were always learning, and she was really good. She won most of the powder puff races that I had, and I had an outboard. She ran them against the people with inboards, and
wow.
She won almost all of the powder puffs we had for a long time.
So there was really a nice mix. That's why I like to talk about the powder puffs, because it wasn't just a man sport. We had the women involved, the mothers, if you will, involved with our sports here back in the day, and water skiing was really a big thing. I mean, you either owned a boat and water skied, or you didn't do anything.
There wasn't a whole lot to do back then.
It wasn't.
So we spent an awful lot of time on the lake. That's why you had a good boat, and then you advanced to what you wanted to do. I personally got into the boat, and I had more fun with that. I got to where you have, if you don't work out a lot, I can remember, I was probably 25, 6, 7 in there, and I never worked out where I could run around that island out there. Well, I ran track in school, but that's not the same as water skiing.
Right.
It was a lot of work. We got most of the kids, Jim and Ann and Sandy and I would get all the kids, because a lot of parents didn't have boats and stuff, and we'd always pull as many as we could pull. Well, yeah, you know, let them practice
the kids,
and get them right.
Let's talk about the polar bear.
that was always fun. That was one of our most fun events, and we all really enjoyed that.
Walk us through a little bit what that was like for anybody that first time.
Well, it was somebody who was dumb enough to want to go skiing January. We always have it the first Saturday after New Year's.
So it's called the Polar Bear Ski?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd go out and you couldn't wear a wetsuit. You had to go in your
swim trunks.
Trunks, yeah.
Yep.
And pretty much, if you were crazy enough to do that, then you could go get a polar bear patch and have fun. And
that's when I learned how to short start.
Ah, I got
so
you.
Not a bad idea
in January.
And I managed to get off the shore. I go out there. Jim Sain's pulling me. Life is grand. I'm going to come in. I'm going to get some hot chocolate and some soup. And all of a sudden, Jim runs out of gas.
Oh, no.
And he's got to pump up the back of the day where you had to switch the tank.
Yeah.
You had to pump up the bulb.
Prime.
And then you had to get the, and you go, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. Prime it. Hurry up.
Oh, that was one of my colder experiences.
I remember a skier, pretty famous, his name was Wayne Grimditch. From the 70s, they used to have a show called, like, Battle of the Network Stars, and there were these, athletes that participated in it. And you were talking about physical fitness and agility in that with water skiing. He always won those competitions on the network show. As a professional water skier, you know, he seemed to be in the best shape. I mean, we're talking about going up against O.J. Simpson and guys like that.
Sure.
You know, so, I mean, that's how in shape you had to be to ski at the level you were skiing at, right?
Well, that, can you ski? How many people can make it to the power lines and back?
Oh, right.
Long haul.
Endurance skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it was two laps.
It's funny you mention that. I skied one time from the dam, Hoover Dam, all the way to Hemingway Harbor. It was about a 25-minute ski. And I remember just losing concentration one time, and I went end over end and you know, hit. And that was a hard hit. I remember being out for, I don't know, maybe 15, 30 seconds or whatever, and then coming to. But, yeah, that's kind of dangerous.
Now imagine twice the distance at about 70 to 80 miles an hour.
Wow. You're talking 40 to 45 minutes of skiing?
Oh, I would think it would be about that, wouldn't it? Back and forth?
Yeah. Wow. Well, that one was a 50-mile race, and one was a 75-mile race.
My goodness.
Now, you guys did Catalina.
Yeah.
Long Beach to Catalina, is that right?
Yeah. I did that probably 3 years, and then I got smarter, and it's easier to work on boats than
that's a little
take
choppy.
Those spills.
Oh. So the story I heard when some of them got back for the first time, they said it was speed skiing, but all of a sudden the boat's gone because the swell is in between you and the boat.
Oh, sure.
And you can't see the boat till you come up over the swell.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a moment.
You're talking about 6 to 8 foot swells then, right?
I would only guess it would be at least that.
Yeah.
When you go to that race, you hope like heck it's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, at 8 o'clock, that thing goes off. I pulled Brian on that, and Kelly both. And I don't know how they did it, but they did it, and they were in good shape. They both worked out quite a bit, and wow. Deanna got into it too, but it was tough. You had to be in shape. You had to do a lot of running. You had to.
We think white caps are bad, and then you're dealing with ocean swells.
Right. So, you know, real quickly, just to plug in the Kids on the Colorado River Project, we're bringing that back to kids now because we found out 20 years ago that the kids simply don't water ski anymore. They don't get out. Some of them have never even been on the water. So we're creating that program, Kids on the Colorado River, .org. If you go there, we're looking for help and volunteers when we do that this November for 450 children. So it's people like you, Glenn, that we're doing it for, because when we got that experience, that life-changing experience back in the day, we want to make sure the kids today have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's and kids are, back then, were in good shape. I can remember, the kids from here would go out and ski against kids from California and this, that, and the other. And the kids here from Lake Havasu City were almost all, they were hard to beat.
I bet they were. All right, we have another phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey there, Grandpa. It's Marina and Kara.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Well, how'd you know I was doing
this? She's listening to the show on the radio.
It's her, Brian's her, their dad, so they're probably listening with him.
Oh, absolutely. We're listening. And give you a shout out and let everybody know that Grandpa taught us how to water ski. I think I was 5, and Kara, how old were you? 4? 4 to 5?
Grandpa, I remember Grandpa holding us in the water while my dad would pull the boat and just making sure that we were in the right position and stuff and teaching us how to ski. It was fantastic.
Hey, how long did it take you to get rid of the second ski once you learned how to double ski?
A couple of years. We didn't live in Havasu, so we would only go there during the summer.
Oh, right.
But I would say a couple of years probably.
That's kind of a real experience when that first ski goes away and you're on one, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different balancing act.
Glenn, what's the best way to teach that? Do you kick off that ski or just go to one ski and pull yourself up?
Well, it depends on the person. There are people who put the one ski on and try it 2 or 3 times.
Right.
And
it's a little squirrely getting up in that case.
Some people could do it, and yet I've taught people that got up the first time they tried. I don't know whether that's a lucky thing or what.
Yep. I know people that won't even teach doubles. They just, use the one ski.
I taught my kids how to ski the same way, once they got up on the single, they never went back, so it was really an experience for them.
Yeah, it's easier on you, it's a whole lot easier.
So you were talking about the
neck. Hang on, Dan, we still have a caller.
Yep. Did you have anything else, caller?
Nope, that's it. Love you guys, and we'll talk to you later, Grandpa.
Love you, Grandpa. Well,
love you, too.
I didn't realize we had two people on the line. That's great.
So yeah, that's my two granddaughters.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you talked about the Nationals, and Havasu had a club, of course, but really we were much bigger than a lot of people realized.
Oh, yeah.
How many of us went to Nationals, and how did we do?
Oh, we were always very well represented from Lake Havasu. I'm old, and I can't remember all the names anymore. But I can remember, and I know there's people here right now who, they got to have kids and that have known this, and the people that back then who just picked it up. And if you were there, there was always the people in the club, and everything would always help anybody.
It became kind of a family, really, when you think about it. It's that Havasu community family on the water.
Yeah, it was, because a lot of, even some of the families didn't have a boat, but people that had boats were glad to show you how, you know, like we'd go to the, well, I can remember after work when the, every day here at 5 o'clock, the power would go off. So nobody would do anything. We all went to the lake after we got off work and we'd ski till dark. So
I have to ask you, what are you skiing behind these days when you say you still ski? What kind of boat? Because Dan and I are both kind of boat guys, so okay. I know Dan is.
I have a 22-foot with a 300 Mercury on it.
Nice. Very nice.
I've always stuck with the... Once I went to outboards, I've enjoyed them.
So now you don't mind the KitchenAid mixer.
No. No, because we made believers out of a lot of them.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. When
like Jim and I, we both worked at what we tried to learn. Mm-hmm. And like I knew if I went to the race, if I could beat Jim, I could run with anybody. And
right.
I knew it. And he knew it. If he could beat me, he could. And we did it, and we raced, and we were on top for a long time. We enjoyed it.
Right.
So, Glenn, what did you do for your daytime job? I mean, you know, we all had to make a living here in Havasu. What were you doing back then?
I probably built half of the people in this town their fences. So,
okay.
And then I went in business for myself in the 80s, and I did that till I think I quit right around 98, 99, in there somewhere.
Interesting. Even in the summertime, right?
Yeah.
So we don't see water skiers. We're not doing slalom. We don't see speed skiers out there. And I know that we're not skiing the polar bear event anymore, but the polar bear event still goes on. They're getting out there. They're swimming it.
They went to swimming. And, I know. Probably can't even mention why, but anyway, it was just like everything else where politics gets into it and stopped what we used did for all of those years, and they just made it so hard and so expensive for people to go out at that time of year. And
It's such a shame. I have 12 patches from that event. And,
no kidding.
Very proud of that, quite frankly. And, you know, it's a signature to our town, if you will. Because the polar bear event happens all over the world, but not skiing. That's something that we own that.
Right.
So that's kind of a big thing. And so.
Maybe like the mustache contest, that's something, or mustache and beard contest, that's something you could bring back, Dan.
Oh, yeah. I've got my hands full already.
I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. And by the way, we're still looking for volunteers for the, beard mustache contest. We need help. But Glenn, after all these years, and you reflect back on all of those experiences, what's the one thing that you would share with everybody that you could take away from that? What's the most popular thing you can think of?
Well, it took me a lot of years, and I started in the back. I finally got going to the races. If you won your class, you could step up to the next class. And at first they looked at us like we were idiots, which probably we were. But we got better and better. The last year I ran, I won High Point in all three inboard classes with an outboard, which they said would never be done. And now you could go buy one out of a box that will run over 100 miles an hour.
Right.
So that would be the thing I remember the most.
What a great conversation. But we have to wrap this one up.
We do. And our next show is going to be September 7th. So we're looking forward to bringing on our next guest speaker. Keep an eye on Havasu Pioneers Facebook page for the notice. And Glenn, I can't thank you enough for being here and being our guest speaker. I know so many people were thrilled to hear what you had to say today.
Well, I thank you very much, and maybe it'll make some of them want to get out and go skiing again.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that does it for another Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie along with host Dan De Los Santos. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us for a final shot. Dan, great job.
Great job, Paul.
All right, don't forget about the Facebook page. We'll talk about all that when we come back. Stay with us. All right, great show today. Don't forget about the archives. It's KNTRtalk.com. Right there on the homepage, you can find the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show link, and you'll be able to listen to the show in its entirety on your own time. So there you go. All right, on tomorrow's show, we've got Monica Hall talking about the school supply drive, and then there's a new nonprofit in Havasu. We're going to have Don Hansen talking about that. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay hydrated.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.